Welcome to episode 25 of the Holy Bible, the New Testament. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church and creator of this series. In this episode, I will focus on the prayer habits of Jesus Christ and the important role played by women in St. Luke's Gospel. In the episode, I will offer examples of Jesus' reliance upon prayer both before and after major events. The examples all happen in Jesus' adulthood, beginning with his baptism in the River Jordan, and reveal his reliance upon daily prayer, often in solitude. For those interested in exploring the topic of Jesus' prayer habits in more detail, I recommend Luke Timothy Johnson's The Living Gospel, published in 2005, which inspired my approach for this episode. Professor Johnson continues the prayer-focused approach in his discussion of Acts of the Apostles, also written by St. Luke. His book is available on Amazon. After this discussion of Jesus' prayer habits, I will address the early church understanding of the nature and purpose of prayer. The first example comes in St. Luke's account of Jesus' baptism in the Jordan by John the Baptist. The on-screen illustration is from the English Bible produced by Gustave Doré in 1866. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was open, says St. Luke in chapter 3, verse 21. The event was accompanied by the dove, symbolizing the Holy Spirit, and the voice of the Father from heaven, marking it as a rare appearance in Scripture of all three divine persons of the Holy Trinity. In the next example, following the cleansing of a leper, St. Luke observes that Jesus, quote, often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. That's Luke 5:16. St. Matthew and St. Mark both report the same habit of going off to be alone in prayer after public events such as homilies and sermons and cleansing and healings. St. Luke makes a different point in the next example, in which he recounts that before his calling of the 12 disciples and his speaking of the Sermon on the Mount, Luke wrote, "Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." That's Luke 6, verse 12. The illustration for this slide is an 1814 wood engraving by the artist Alexandre Bida. Most of St. Luke's narrative indicates that the disciples respected Jesus' desire for solitude when at prayer, but not always. And here we have Luke 9, verse 18. "And it happened, as he was alone praying, that his disciples joined him, and he asked them, 'Who do the crowd say that I am?'" Not all of St. Luke's accounts describe instances of solitary prayer. On the day of the Transfiguration on Mount Hermon, illustrated here in an early 16th century Russian Orthodox icon, St. Luke provides another glimpse into Jesus' prayer habits that is not mentioned by either St. Matthew or St. Mark. "He took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening," from Luke 9, verses 28 to 29. St. Luke's narrative leaves us with the assumption that the disciples usually left Jesus in solitude, not interrupting his prayers, but in one case, with prayer on their minds, they waited until just the right moment. This is from Luke 11, verse 1. "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John,'" meaning John the Baptist, "'taught his disciples.'" The first speaking of the Lord's Prayer followed. In St. Luke's Gospel, there is no negative comparison by Jesus to the prayer habits of the Pharisees as there is in St. Matthew's account of the same incident. In St. Luke's Gospel, the criticism of the Pharisees comes in the unique parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke 18, verses 9 to 14. There is one example which St. Luke does not label as prayer, but directed to the Father, it should be counted as one. It is found in St. Luke's description of the return of the 70, which I discussed in episode 21, but quote again now. This is Luke 10, verse 21. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Except for the Lord's Prayer and the incident just cited, neither St. Matthew, St. Mark, nor St. Luke tells us the content of Jesus' many prayers. However, St. Luke does give us four glimpses, the first in connection with Jesus' prophecy of Peter's denials. In the account, unique to his gospel, St. Luke reinforces his theme of the power and importance of faith, the concept of the church as a community of shared faith. Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. That's Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. And here St. Peter is shown in a Greek Orthodox icon of unknown date, probably 16th century or earlier, from Mount Athos, Greece. St. Luke does not tell us, as St. Matthew does in Matthew 26:37, that it was Peter, John, and James that accompanied him in the garden at Gethsemane. But Luke does tell us that Jesus advised them in verse 40, in chapter 22, verse 40, pray that you may not enter into temptation. There are two meanings here, one a direct and one an indirect benefit of prayer. First, for the Father's help in resisting temptation, and second, the actual act of praying as reducing the opportunity for succumbing to the temptation of the flesh. Luke tells us that Jesus was, quote, withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, submitting to the Father's will in 22:42. Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. An angel appeared offering comfort, and St. Luke says that Jesus, quote, being in agony, prayed more ceaselessly. There are three other glimpses into the context of Jesus' prayers, in the first of which St. Luke summarizes Jesus' views on the need for and the purpose of prayer. In the prelude to the parable of the tenacious widow, a unique account in St. Luke's Gospel, St. Luke writes in 18:1 that men should pray and not lose heart. The last two examples of the content of Jesus' prayers are found in his words from the cross. In the first example, not long before his death, Jesus prayed concerning those who had crucified him, saying in 23, verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, words which are not found in either the Gospels of St. Matthew or St. Mark. The illustration for this slide is a Polish Eastern Rite Catholic icon, date unknown, probably 15th or 16th century. The final example is found in St. Luke's account of the last words of Jesus from the cross, from 23:46 A and B. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit, after which Luke writes, having said this, he breathed his last. One of the greatest pulpit orators the world has ever seen was St. John Chrysostom, whose name in Greek literally means John the Golden Mouth. He is depicted here in an icon painted by the celebrated Russian Orthodox icon painter Dionysius, painted in Moscow in the early 16th century near the end of his career. On the subject of prayer, Chrysostom wrote in Homily 6 on prayer, "Prayer is the light of the soul, giving us true knowledge of God. It is a link mediating between God and man. By prayer, the soul is borne up to heaven and in a marvelous way embraces the Lord. This meeting is like that of an infant crying to its mother and seeking the best of milk. The soul longs for its own needs, and what it receives is better than anything to be seen in the world." And my text is from the prayerfoundation.org version of Homily 6. Later in AD 2014, the Anglican Internet Church will produce an expanded set of videos on Christian spirituality, defining its meaning and application in Christian life, and exploring the nature and purpose of personal prayer. Our last topic in this discussion is the Gospel of Saint. Is the role of women in the narrative. Not only are there more women mentioned in St. Luke's account, but also they are given more important roles than any other gospel. As I showed in episode 12, the story opens in chapter 1 with the account of Mary's cousin, the Barren Elizabeth, and in episodes 13 and 14, how the story continues with the Annunciation to the Blessed Virgin Mary and of Mary's song of praise to the Lord, the Magnificat, all three accounts found only in St. Luke's Gospel. But their appearance is not the whole story. Women are mentioned in other Gospels, but only in St. Luke are they chosen for special roles for which they receive a precious gift from God. In both cases, the conception of a child, in the case of John, the parents of John the Baptist and of Jesus himself. And they received this conception in unique circumstances, and their birth was vital to the plan of salvation of which St. Luke wrote. Only in Luke do we hear of Anna the prophetess, whom I discussed in episode 14, also mentioned only in St. Luke's Gospel, whose life reveals a place for older people in the life of the church. St. Luke tells us she served until she was over 100, including at the presentation of Christ in the temple. She is shown here in a painting by the illustrious Italian artist Giotto in the early 14th century. Later in chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, we learn of Mary and Martha, sisters of Lazarus, and hear Jesus' lecture on the value of hearing the word that I discussed in episode 21. His instruction reveals the importance of the role that both women played, one by service and the other by listening. The illustration shows Jesus in the house of Mary and Martha from Gustave Doré's English Bible of the late 19th century. Other women in St. Luke's narrative are the widow of Nain, on whom Jesus showed compassion in episode 17, and whose son Jesus raised from the dead in Luke 7:11-16. The woman who lost a coin in Luke 15, verses 8-10, and discussed in episode 18, and shown in a detail from the 19th century wood engraving by the English artist John Everett Millais in the pre-Raphaelite Brotherhood style, and finally the tenacious widow from Luke 18:1-8, discussed in episode 19. Only in St. Luke's account do we hear of his address to the women of Jerusalem in Luke 23, verses 28-32. In other Gospels, the presence of women may be assumed, but generally it is not specifically mentioned. All these incidents involving women attest to St. Luke's message of the universal appeal of the Gospel message to all peoples, both men and women. Next time, in episode 26, I will begin our discussion of the non-synoptic Gospel, the Gospel of St. John, which differs from the three synoptics primarily in that it starts at a different point, presents the subject matter in many cases in a different order, and also includes unique content, and offers a confessed first-person account. At the same time, the AIC will continue airing the new series on St. John's other contribution to Scripture, the Book of Revelation. Episode 1 of Revelation, An Idealist Interpretation, was uploaded on March 5th, Ash Wednesday. Episode 2 was uploaded on Tuesday, March 18th. The focus of Episode 2 is the significance of numerology in St. John's account. Thank you for joining me for episode 25 of the Holy Bible, the New Testament. You can help us keep producing this kind of programming and other educational efforts via the internet in several ways. You can make a direct donation by sending a check in any amount payable to St. Chrysostom Church or Anglican Internet Church to our business office address 7162 Softwind Lane, Mechanicsville, Virginia 23111. Or you can purchase books from our bookstore at our Podbean site. When you're on the bookstore page, you can order using PayPal any of our 10 publications. You can also like us or subscribe to our podcast from the Podbean site. You can also follow us and like us on Facebook. The full internet address is on the screen, but I have also posted a live link to our Facebook page on the home page of our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. From that site, you can use the link, and once you're at the Facebook page, bookmark the page for easy return. Contributors and book purchasers are eligible to become Distance members and receive the weekly update with the latest news and links to the most recent videos, podcasts, and publications. If you'd like to speak with me personally about this program or any other subject, please call on my cell phone 804-306-1190. The best times are 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, Eastern Time. If you do not reach me live, please leave your name, a message, and a callback number. Again, thank you for joining me, and until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be merciful to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.